Good morning. What a lovely morning it is again today. We welcome you if you are here for the first time, or if you've been coming here in some cases all of your life and in between. We also welcome those who are participating in worship online right now or at a later time. And we especially welcome the Kimber Uniting Church members, some of whom are in that photo above, because there was a visit from our members to Kimber and they met together last week. It's 100 years since Mother's Day was first celebrated in Australia with gift giving. Sydney woman Janet Hayden was inspired to collect charitable gifts for lonely elderly mothers in hospital who had lost husbands and sons during World War I. I only saw that in the paper this morning. We come to worship. Jesus invited all. All are welcome. And Jesus said, come. To all mothers and all children, he said, come. To the motherless and the childless, he said, come. To all who long to be mothered, he said, come. Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As we gather, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we are, the Kaurna people. May we walk together and commit ourselves to be a people of the covenant, listening, truth-telling, and seeking justice for all. And now, if you're able, we will stand to sing, Now Thank We All Our God. Mother and Father of humankind and creation, we are grateful and thankful today for mothering, for the feminine touch of parenting, for the special connection of parent and child, thankful for all the women in our lives who offer care, comfort, encouragement and support. There's a response. We are grateful for the self-sacrifice of love that is given, and we offer our love in return. We remember the mothers who are. We remember the mothers who have been and are gone. We remember those who are or have been like mothers. We acknowledge that mothering is sometimes hard and not all are able to do so as they would like. We acknowledge that we all fall short in life and love and that mothers are no exception in this. However, today we honour mothering. We pray for mothers all and those who offer mothering, beyond the circle of bloodlines and family. For mothers and mothers we pray, and we give thanks. Now, the next song is a familiar tune, and that's Be Thou My Vision tune, but very different words, but appropriate for today. So please stand if you are able to sing God of the Women Who Answered Your Call.
At the growing numbers of their people, and he orders the infant boys to be killed. Hear now what was to become the beginning of the liberation story of the people. It's from Exodus 2, verses 1 to 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore him a son, and when he saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him. He was 3 months old. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. The second reading for today was chosen for Mother's Day, as it brings to us the final thoughts and words of Jesus on the cross. It's from John 19, verses 25 to 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, Woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
We come here to this place for many reasons, for friendship, for encouragement, in life and in faith, to worship, maybe searching. Here in this place, through the generations and changing histories, and even now, the young may have a changing matrix in this rapidly changing digital world. But here, whatever the generation, we engage in the story, we connect in the story and the spirit and the life and the work of Jesus. Today, on Mother's Day, we hear of Jesus and his mother Mary. We were first introduced to Mary in the book of Luke, especially Mary's great song of praise. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love it. Then we hear of her birthing Jesus, with Joseph is with her, and we hear of Bethlehem, and we're hearing a lot of Bethlehem at the moment too. We hear of the great joy written about the joy of the birth of Jesus, of shepherds and angels in the book of Matthew, in the visit of the wise men, then the threat of death for this baby. And the escape. Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus flee as refugees to Egypt. Later, when safe, they return. We see other glimpses of Mary, the mother of Jesus, through the gospel writings. We see throughout the gospels the person and the work of Jesus, his example and his teaching, and so much more. All this with the people of there and then, at that time, and now down through the ages and the generations and throughout the world, and for us too, we are so grateful. Jesus with his disciples, Jesus relying on the disciples, relying on them to carry on the great commission to go out into the world. Thankfully for us, even for us. Yet with all this, Jesus' last words from the cross are for his mother, for her care, into the care of the beloved disciple, John. On this day, we remember the love of Jesus for her, for his mother, her love for him, and the love of the beloved disciple. I want to say here that at Gateways, our book reading group here at Morialta, we've been reading this book called About the Seventh Story, The Best Way to Live. And it tells us about the way we people and groups get into trouble, and about this leads into the seventh way, which is the way of love. And they say the protagonist of this whole story is love. I just wanted to share that with you. On this special day today, 2, the Old Testament reading takes us back even further in our inherited faith stories, possibly to around the 13th century BC. So long ago, and yet it could be a story for today in so many ways. I want to say that immediately prior to this reading today, we find the story of two other brave, practical women. Here, Pharaoh personally instructs the Hebrew midwives to ensure the baby Hebrew boys did not survive their birth. The midwives did not do as Pharaoh, the powerful Pharaoh, had commanded, but let these babies live. These two women of wisdom, the story said, feared God. That is, they had reverence for God. Their conscience would not allow them to do it. Then they were confronted by Pharaoh, demanding why had these babies lived. And they, with courage and ingenuity and shrewdness, tell a tale, they actually survive this encounter with Pharaoh. And it's interesting that these two midwives are named Shifra and Puah. It's unusual for this to happen, but so very good, because even today we know their names. Then comes today's reading in the ongoing plot of Pharaoh against the baby boys. And the story focuses, of course, on these three women saving the baby Moses from the death-dealing orders of the Pharaoh. First, the mother birthing the child. The mother devising a saving plan, resourceful and ingenious, with her waterproof basket. And eventually, amazingly, one of the outcomes is that she is actually paid to suckle and bring up her saved boy. Then there's the baby's sister, Miriam, on watch, obedient to her mother, watching and alert, quick-witted, asking with courage and hope, asking the princess, "Shall I go and find a Hebrew woman for the baby?" And she goes and gets the mother, and imagine the anxious moments and the huge relief for the mother and the daughter. Then there's the Pharaoh's daughter, knowingly defying her powerful father's orders. She has pity and compassion and determination in saving the child. And the story says, when he grew up, she took him into the palace. Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses. This is the very beginning of the big story of Moses. Liberation from slavery, the 10 commandments, and much, much more. And right at the beginning, are these three women playing the part. And this is a story for us today. Also on this Mother's Day, Judith Perling has agreed to share with us about their family experience in adoption. Thank you.
You'll all be aware of the Vietnam War and the involvement of American, Canadian, and Australian military personnel. Now, that began in 1962 for Australia, when 30 advisors went there, and the number gradually rose until the end of the war in 1975, when some 10,000 Australians had served there at some time. I mention this because by the end of the 1960s, it was known that there were thousands of children orphaned and displaced, many of them of mixed race. This stirred us into action, and we decided that if we could adopt at least one child it will be a small contribution to make. We were soon approved by the Department of Community Welfare as suitable parents, believe it or not, but our appeals and correspondence to the Commonwealth Government was going nowhere. We wrote to our local MPs and our state MPs, as well as the Minister for Immigration, who said we had no responsibility for these children and they were best left in their own country, despite the fact that many of them were mixed race. The White Australia policy was still in force and was not completely removed until 1973. Sadly, despite the change, there was still a lot of hostility and prejudice in the community. I'd like to read part of a newsletter written by Graham Irvine in the World Vision newsletter at the time. We were standing in the dim light of an upstairs landing in one of Saigon's wretched orphanages. In Dr. McKinney's arms was a frail scrap of humanity, hot, sick and dirty. Imagine what it's like, he said, to cry like this hour after hour and no one ever comes to pick you up. Confronted by that little waif from whom life was slipping away by slow and agonising degrees, all the high-flown arguments against adoption stood out sharply for what they were, theoretical humbug. The World Conference on Adoption and Foster Placements, held in Milan in September 1971, resolved that adoption is the best legal and social solution to protect children deprived of families, as it allows them to grow up and develop normally in the same conditions as other children and to arrive at adulthood fulfilling their potential. At this time, we had joined forces with other families who were trying to adopt children from overseas. We formed the Australian Adoptive Families Association. Later on, a bigger organisation was formed called ASIAC. In the 1972 federal election, the government changed, so we all contacted the new immigration minister and our pleas were answered and it became possible for us to adopt some children from Vietnam. In December 1972, two children came to families interstate, and in 1973, four babies came, two for Melbourne and two for Adelaide. They had been in the World Vision New Life Babies Home. The matron, Joan Potter, had been the matron of the Wagga Wagga Hospital before she volunteered to work with World Vision. Our Kim was one of those children. He'd been found on the street at about 3 or 4 days old and fortunately had been taken to the New Life Babies Home. World Vision limited the number of babies in their care, but the care was personal. The children were cuddled and played with so that they related to people more easily. So Kim settled into our family quickly and soon gained weight and caught up with other children his age. We thought, well, that went well, and we decided to apply to adopt another child. However, another small boy had been allocated to us, not through World Vision, because they had closed their list of potential families waiting to adopt. He'd been chosen by an Australian doctor who looked at him several times and thought he was too sick to be moved, but went back again and decided to take a chance with him. Now, the troops were being withdrawn and the fall of Saigon was imminent, so it was decided to airlift some of the children to the countries where they'd been assigned to families. This was codenamed Operation Baby Lift. A plane had been loaded with babies and young children to go to the United States, and shortly after takeoff, the rear exploded. Many of the children and nurses were killed, but there were some survivors. The next plane to leave went to Canada, and then the Australian plane was next. Some of the army nurses and wives of the embassy staff helped look after the babies and toddlers on the flight. Babies were laid in shoeboxes, in cartons, and they were strapped two to a seat. It must have been a nightmare for everyone. After several flights going to Japan, Singapore and Australia, they arrived in Melbourne and all the children were taken to the Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital, where the matron was Vivian Bullwinkle. The children were in a terrible state. They were malnourished, not immunised, sick with lice and sores. Many had hepatitis and all manner of diseases. After 3 months, we were contacted to say a social worker would be bringing Michael over to Adelaide the next day. We lived in Port Augusta then, so had a hasty return trip to Adelaide. He'd actually been baptised Michael in the orphanage where he was, the Notre Dame Mission. It was overcrowded and it was under-resourced. Anyway, he'd been baptised Michael, so Michael he was. He was 2 and a half and he couldn't walk. He couldn't chew solid food. He had rotten teeth and toenails. He screamed a lot, and we decided that where he'd been, the child who screamed the loudest got the attention. So when he screamed, we sang nursery rhymes, and the screaming soon stopped. If you've spent the first 2 years of your life in a cot without much human touch, it's hard to feel close to people. And so it was with Michael. We had some issues when he was about 10, and we had a few visits to a psychologist, but were soon told that we were an ordinary family and not to worry anymore. To say he was a challenge would be an understatement. However, he was really bright and soon caught up with his peers. He loved our chooks and would wander down and watch them for ages. Fortunately, his new teeth and toenails were fine, and he became a meat and three veg man, despite being told he preferred rice. Someone asked recently about the effects of war on the young children who'd experienced. So this is just a minor incident that we encountered. We moved to Murray Bridge the next year, and we used to visit the Pick Your Own Produce farm sometimes. Every time we went there, Michael would get very clingy and whinge. So after a while, we realised that the gas guns were exploding to frighten the birds. So for a baby who hears that and then experiences the panic afterwards, this was a reminder of stressful times, so we didn't go again. For a few of the adoptees, their lives have been scarred by their experiences. Mostly, they've become bright, productive members of the community. As the Paul Kelly song says, from little things, big things grow. It was a small number of people who tried to help these desperate children, but they were persistent, they were determined, and those numbers have swelled over the 5 decades since then. We probably all know families where there are children adopted from overseas. It was estimated by the Red Cross that up to 1 million children were left behind in Vietnam. Trying to condense this story to a few pages has been a challenge, but I would like to finish with this song from the musical Miss Saigon. The scene is in Saigon after the war has ended, and a former US serviceman has returned. He's working with an NGO to help some of the children. The song is called Bu Doi.
painted walls on every side. They don't belong in any place. Their secret they can't hide. It's printed on their face. I never thought one day I'd plead for half-breeds from a land that's torn. But then I saw a camp for children whose crime was being born. They're called Quidoy, the dust of life, conceived in hell and born in strife. We owe them fathers and a family, a loving home they never knew, because we know deep in our hearts that they are all our children too. These are souls in need. They need us to give. Someone has to pay for their chance to live. Help the poor try.
For courage, we give thanks. For determination, we give thanks. For hope, we give thanks. For love, we give thanks. Please stand if you are able, and together we sing the song, Come As You Are.
Thank you.
offering prayer. Creating, sustaining God, we bring our monetary offerings and ourselves today. May these offerings and we ourselves be the active means of increased hope, love, trust and justice, both here in this place and further out. For the sake of all, amen. So, we have our newsletter, which most of you would have received by email. And of course, if you want a hard copy, they're out in the foyer. There are lots of things to look at and notice in there. As well as that, well, a bit of a special mention, if you're itching to get behind a camera or anything to do with the audiovisual team, there's the training next Sunday. So, and also after the service, we have tea and coffee in the hall. So if you'd like to join us, it's a great time to have a chat after our service today. Netball raised nearly $1,000 on their stall for Mother's Day, which is a fantastic effort. I think we just about give them a clap for that. That's pretty good. And there are some items. I know it's not very many, but there's some items in the foyer for sale. So if you want to snatch something from the table, go for it. And there are flowers in the foyer, which you would have seen on the way in, which look lovely. You can take one for yourself, or you can take one for someone else from the little jars of flowers. Please feel free to take one and give it to someone else. And they're lovely. All the flowers are beautiful today everywhere, as you've seen on your way in. Our prayers for the people. Spirit of love, be with the parent who sits long nights beside those who cannot sleep, who holds in aching arms the hurting child and comforts without words. Spirit of love, be with a parent who listens and does not judge, who forgives and bears no grudge, no matter what the cost. Spirit of love, be with parents. May they have freedom from anxiety and have peace and understanding with hope and perseverance. We pray particularly for parents who are trying to protect and save their children in areas affected by war and famine. May mothers and other women and children in danger in their own homes be given protection and safety. Spirit of love, be with the child who enters an exciting world, who has much to learn, who has much to share. Spirit of love, be with the child who looks up to the parent, who takes in all the parent does, who learns from the wisdom shown. Spirit of love, be with the child separated from parents by conflict and imprisonment. May all of them find safety and love and have freedom from anxiety. And something for us all. May we all have the courage, determination, hope and active love in little things, that big things may continue to grow. Spirit of love, be with us all. Amen. Now the next song, called Together, is on a video. You may choose to just participate by watching it and listening, or you may like to participate by singing. So feel free to sing if you would like to or not, and we'll remain seated while this one plays.
We've taken the dead to commit to a destiny shared, different, diverse we may be. For we see God's plan for history, a world reconciled and renewed. This is God's call, this is God's way.
like to invite you to stand for the, if you're able, for the benediction. Go with hope in your hearts and joy in your lives, with courage and determination. Go knowing that you are loved, and do your best to share that love. And the blessing of the Mothering God, the inspiration of Jesus, the company of the Spirit be upon you and with you now and evermore. Amen. Go in peace.